Al Jazeera is reporting this week that the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab, which claimed responsibility for the mall attack in Nairobi, is back on Twitter. After the attack, which left more than 60 dead, Twitter suspended 6 accounts belonging to the group. The attack also exposed the violent conflict that's ongoing between Al-Shabaab and the Kenyan police. That conflict is now playing out in Mombasa, Kenya. And here's the BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse.
We're in a part of town here called Majengo, not a wealthy area by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly here in this market it appears to be thriving. Piles of coconut and mango over there. Over here, a lady finally slicing cabbage with a large knife. For centuries, this place has been a melting pot for cultures from either side of the Indian Ocean. But more latterly, it's also been a staging post for would-be jihadists on their journey in and out of Somalia. Some of the mosques in this city are frequented by radical preachers, and police believe that some of those preachers are recruiting young men, both Kenyan and foreign, to their violent ideology.
When an Islamic country is invaded by a Christian country, it is an obligation on the people in that country to repel the invaders.
That's Abu Bakr Sharif Ahmed, better known as Makaburi. His name appears on UN and US sanctions lists. He's accused of being a leading facilitator and recruiter of young Kenyan Muslims for violent militant activity in Somalia. Despite the rhetoric, it's an accusation he denies.
We have laws in Islam. Portraying the laws to people doesn't mean you are instigating violence or terrorism. That is Islam. I am preaching Islam. If the people in Somalia cannot repel the invaders, then the obligation comes to the people in Kenya, who are the neighbors in Somalia. Then it goes on and on and on. That is why you have people from England coming to fight for their Muslim brothers in Somalia.
In early October, less than 2 weeks after Westgate, young Muslim men clashed with police on the streets of Mombasa. The night before, a radical preacher by the name of Ibrahim Rogo had been gunned down in his car as he travelled on the outskirts of the city. His supporters, including Makaburi, believe he was murdered by the Kenyan security services, specifically by an outfit known as the Anti-Terror Police Unit, or ATPU.
They are preempting attacks by killing anybody who has the potential to do an attack or who they think has the potential to instigate an attack.
Well, the cleric's car was heading north out of Mombasa along this busy road when the assassins struck. They riddled his vehicle with bullets. It careered off the road and came to a halt here by this advertising signboard. In fact, you can still see quite a large dent in the pole where the vehicle struck it. Now, officially, Kenya's anti-terror police unit denies any involvement in this or any other illegal assassination. But off the record, people are less reticent. One member of Mombasa's ATPU said it was indeed his division that was involved in the assassination of Sheikh Ibrahim Rogo. He told me, quote, "The justice system in Kenya is not favourable to the work of the police, so we opt to eliminate them. We identify you," he said, "we gun you down in front of your family, and we begin with the leaders." The anti-terror police unit receives funding, training and equipment from Britain and the United States. A Mombasa-based human rights group called Muhuri has compiled a report detailing dozens of cases of extrajudicial killings, disappearances, torture and rendition allegedly carried out by the ATPU. Francis Auma compiled the report.
I've done this report for the past 18 months, just doing the documentation. And before that, even 3 years back, I was following this. I went to the morgue, I attend the postmortems, I get the witnesses. ATPU, those guys who know the operation also, we have interviewed them, and they are saying they're confirming this. You know, for security matters, we cannot disclose them, but that's the reality.
The British government won't give details of the exact extent of its funding to the ATPU. But earlier this year, Britain funded and built a new high-tech operations centre for their unit in Nairobi and has in the past also contributed vehicles, boats and surveillance equipment. Francis Auma says this continued support has encouraged the ATPU to continue to act with impunity.
They want to impress the British. They want to impress Americans. They want to impress the world because they are getting funding from the American, because they're getting training from the British. The international community should go back to the drawing board. We want accountability. We want to see if the British taxpayers is being used properly, because to us it's bringing more trouble.
The Foreign Office says it's aware of the allegations of human rights abuses by the ATPU and that it takes them seriously. The FCO declined our request for an interview, but did send us this statement.
The UK has significant interests in Kenya. We consider that there is a threat to these interests, as demonstrated by the recent attack on the Westgate shopping centre. We are working with the authorities to tackle this threat and to support the rule of law in Kenya.
We have very weak legislations when it comes to dealing with terror. So if police are involved in this, I believe it's out of frustration.
That's George Musamali, a former officer in Kenya's paramilitary police known as the GSU. He maintains close contacts with serving officers. Many, he says, complain that Kenya's legal system helps the extremists, not the police.
The law in Kenya says that you arrest a person, you're supposed to take the person to court within 24 hours. But when you're dealing with terrorists, it's not possible to do this. The police need to do thorough investigations because they have specific facts. They have done, collected their own intel, and probably they know this person is actually involved in terrorism. But you take him to court, tomorrow he's out on bond, doing the same things.
Well, you don't have to look very hard down Mombasa's winding back streets with the corrugated iron and tin shacks, communal water taps, to find young men in their dozens who feel that they have no prospects whatsoever.
We see as Muslims, we are being squeezed. They believe us, every Arab or Somali or other Muslim are Al-Shabaab, and that is not true.
But there is no problem if they join Al-Shabaab or Al-Qaeda, because it is part of jihad.
If you lack job, you can't even provide a single cent to your own parents, you know. So there is a probability of being joined there in Al-Shabaab.
Estimates for youth unemployment in Kenya are as high as 80%. Many here feel that the state has little to offer them and that police efforts to combat radicalization are having the opposite effect.
The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse reporting from Kenya.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.